In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
Thank you.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available to them.
Thank you.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go too and worship him." After they'd heard what the king said, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty Lord, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you. going to turn on the lights a little bit here so you can see a little bit. But hey, can we give these guys a round of applause? This has been wonderful tonight. Thank you very much, you guys. I think they've been working on this for a couple months, is this right, at least? So we do really appreciate all your effort and harmony and just giving glory to God and the message of what Christmas really is. So, yeah, we really rejoice in that. So thank you very much. They said I was supposed to give a short message, and if anybody knows me, that's kind of a laughable thing. So if you have half an hour left, you know, something like that, we'll see what we can do there. So it's great to have you here. Let me give you a little bit of thing. You know, what they're singing about Christ coming as a baby. And a lot of us, you know, you see the nativity, right? You see these nativities. We have a nativity out there. And really, a nativity is just a birth scene. Did you know that you, each one of you, have a nativity? There's a nativity of Elliot. There's a nativity of Nolan. There's a nativity of Ella. Everyone has a nativity. Your birth scene. Whoever was there, some people might not have had a mom. I don't know. I'm still thinking about a couple people. Everybody else I know had a mom. And you know, when you think about it, throughout the Bible, there have been really important nativities. The first one was Cain, the first man born of woman. Another one that comes into mind is a guy named Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of the promise that God gave him. The faithfulness of God was displayed in that. Another one was a guy named Moses, born in troubled times and dangerous times. He was born to deliver his people by God's power from Egypt. Another very important nativity was a guy named Samuel. Samuel was raised up by God to lead the nation and to bring the kings together, the line of the kings starting. And then it comes all the way as you keep on going and you look at all these different type of birth scenes, these nativities, and it all comes to the most important one, Jesus. And do you know, in the Bible, if you read, there's no more said about any nativities after Jesus. Did you know that? I mean, there in Revelation, they mention a birth scene, there a nativity, and there's a dragon, and there's a woman, and there's a child to be born, and the dragon's going to eat up that child. But other than that, there is none other than Jesus for a reason. Because all these nativities that we spoke about were a plan of God to carry forth his salvation plan all the way from the time when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God. They broke their relationship with God. And so God had to have these specially chosen people to have be born to continue this salvation plan that he promised to Adam and Eve all the way to the end of Revelation and all the way to our time even now as we're here. So these birth scenes are actually very important when we think about that. And you know, your nativity is very important because God has chosen each one of us. He's given people purpose. He desires to have a relationship with us and to use our lives as somebody like a Isaac or Samuel or Moses or many others who are born to lead or to be a witness or to do something God that looks impossible just for one person to do, but God makes it possible. And through Christ, he opened up the way. And so these all important nativities just seem to cease, but there's one more. But it's kind of a different one. Because in John chapter 3, there's a guy named Nicodemus who went to see Jesus, and they were talking. And let me see if I can find that here. Hold on. And Jesus was saying this, truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Oops, I'm sorry, I went ahead of myself. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. That's a whole different kind of nativity, isn't it? How, you know, and here's Nicodemus scratching his head going, how can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked, and then surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. That would be strange. And now Jesus answers, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. See, Jesus was born for a reason. For you. For me. For the whole world, no matter what nation, what language you speak, or what social economic status you have, or what color your skin is, or what allegiance you have in some country, it doesn't matter to God, because he came in the form of a baby named Jesus, and his name meant Savior, or Helper, our rescuer, and he came for each one of us because he was born in the cradle to carry on the purpose of God all the way to the cross, to take our sins upon him because we couldn't do it ourselves. We would just die if we tried for our own sins. That's the judgment of it all. Sin, the wages of sin is death. Jesus knew that, and that's why he came. The Father sent him. He came to die on the cross for us because he's God. He's perfect. He's sinless, unlike us. And through his death, our sins have been wiped away, given us life. And this is what they call this being born again. When we believe that, when we open our hearts to that, when we say, yes, Lord Jesus, you are my Lord, and you confess your sins with a true heart, knowing that you are a sinner and we need help, well, then you invite the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right into your heart. And then you're born again. Spiritually. If you don't know Christ at this point, you're dead spiritually. Did you know that? You're walking in your own strength. You're relying upon yourself. You might think you're pretty good, but in the sight of a holy God who created all things, including you, you're not good enough. That's why he sent his son. So you can be good enough through him. He is all sufficient in all he did for us. So not only did he die, see, we have a Christmas, and that's why we celebrate Jesus' birth, right? That's what Christmas is about. He came to save us. He came as a baby. He grew up as a man. He walked. He died for us on the cross. And on the third day, we celebrate Easter. And that's his resurrection, because death couldn't even hold him. This is the creator of all creation. This is the one who brought life in. He is life. He is the life of man. He is the light of the world. And through him, we have true life. And he showed that through his resurrection. And now he invites each one of us. As a follower of Christ, we are to draw closer to him, to trust in him, and to be a light to others, to share this good news that we learned and we're living. And, you know, we're not perfect. We're going to sin. We're going to fall all over ourselves at times. But we have the power of God within us to change us and to guide us and to teach us and just transform our lives to be people that we could never be on our own. But if you're without Christ, then he's here, right? He's everywhere. He was born for us. He died for us. He rose again. He's alive. He's seated at the right hand of God. And there's a day when he is coming back as the King of Kings. And there's going to be a judgment for those who reject him. And that's why he always says, now, today is the time. Right now is the time. If you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Lord and Savior, now is the time. Don't harden your hearts any longer. Receive him and be born again. A wonderful nativity. The best nativity that we can ever have. To be born again in Christ. Wonderful. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that all you've done for us. Thank you for the wonderful songs that give glory and praise. Tell the wonderful story of your salvation that you sent in this little babe, in your son Jesus. We rejoice in that, Father. And Lord, may this truth of who you are and all you've done for us and all you are doing and all you will do, Lord, be spreading throughout our lives, throughout our families and our friends and coworkers, or throughout Mountaintop and throughout this state and throughout this country, throughout this world, that the good news will go forth about Jesus being our Savior. The one who is our best friend, our Lord and Savior, our hope, the one who gives us life, new life, born again. In him, we praise you and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, and all of his people say, amen. So again, let's stand up. Give these guys a big round of applause. I think we should all stand and give them a round of applause there. Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.